What has caused this is a combination of the intensification of conflict and also the weather. The El Nino effect is already beginning to be felt. It's predictable, it's tragic, and it's having a very real and devastating impact on people.
Okay, and what about the challenges? What are the challenges that humanitarian actors are facing in the course of dispensing their duties?
We've had a number of colleagues have been killed in South Sudan, 34 since December 2013, 10 this year alone in Somalia. This is a very high price to pay for just trying to help people save lives and reduce humanitarian suffering. But it's the ultimate sacrifice that humanitarians are making. It's also a reflection of how dangerous it is for civilian populations in these areas.
What about the role of the governments in this region? South Sudan, for example, how much support do you get from the government? Is it adequate?
We've had a challenging relationship with governments across the region. In the first instance, they have the responsibility to protect their people, to resolve conflict, to end conflict. Then, of course, when it comes to facilitating humanitarian action, they have a responsibility to enable humanitarian organizations to do what they need to do. What we find and have found historically is that we have been frustrated in our efforts by all sorts of controls and administrative procedures and so forth. Now I'm referring to Sudan and South Sudan in particular, much less so in Somalia. We've had a better relationship with government there. But I have to say that on this mission, we had very constructive discussions with government. I think we've turned a new page. We're certainly looking forward to that and to that being converted into a positive dynamic in terms of us being able to do more and reach more people.
Yeah, and just talking about Somalia, you having a good relationship with the government. You did also say that you were pleasantly surprised by the situation there. Why?
I was positively surprised. We've been going to Somalia for 5 years now. Each time I go there, I see meaningful progress on the ground. We start with a very low base, of course. The humanitarian situation is quite desperate. The economic situation is desperate. But there are the seeds of progress, and you can see it visibly. When I started going to Somalia 5 years ago, I couldn't go into any of the areas like Kismayo, Baidoa, and so forth. Now I'm getting beyond the centers of population out into the smaller towns and so forth. So that's one very evident progress. But you also see commercial activity returning to places like Mogadishu, and you see progress where people are rebuilding their lives across the country. I don't want to overstate this, but it is important that people know that progress is possible and actually being made. That should encourage investment. Progress leads to progress. Success leads to success. And we have a situation in Somalia where, for the first time in 25 years, the people are telling me they can see a way out of the misery that they've suffered for so long.
Okay. And just staying with Somalia, you said it is dropping off the radar with regard to funding. What, in your assessment, is the cause of this?
The cause of this is essentially too many demands on the international donor community. Secondly, we have too few members of the international donor community. So what's interesting is that across that sub-region, the same three countries are the biggest donors to each of the crises. So the United States is the number one, the European Union, and the United Kingdom. This is reflective of the situation we have globally in terms of not having a broad enough base of member states involved in financing humanitarian action.